We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. It's game day. Lakers, Warriors, tonight. This is an important game. The Lakers themselves are talking all about how big this one is. I'm Trevor Lane for LakersNation.com. Guys, do me a favor. If you're over on the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. You know that we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on in the world of the Lakers, not only the playoff push, but even afterwards, however long the season goes on for, when we get into the offseason, we're going to keep you up to date on all the free agent signings, all the trade possibilities, the draft news, all the rumors, everything that you need to know about the Los Angeles Lakers right here on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. So make sure that you guys do hit that subscribe button, as well as the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. You guys know, rain or shine, we are here for you with all of your Lakers news. All right, let's get into this. The Lakers spent a lot of time after practice yesterday talking about the Golden State Warriors and tonight's game. I've been hesitating to call any game at this point a big game because it feels like every time we have a big game, the Lakers, well, they don't really show up, do they? We've seen four games so far since the All-Star break that the Lakers really needed to win, all four losses. And I'm talking about those four games they've played directly against their Western Conference opponents, the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, who we're seeing again tonight, and twice against the Sacramento Kings. The Lakers found ways to lose all of those games. Now, right now, the Lakers are sitting in ninth in the standings. They are one game up on the Warriors. Of course, you want to be above that. You want to be 7 or 8, so you're at least in double elimination situation in terms of the play-in. But, well, for right now, the Lakers will have to settle for trying to hold off the Warriors, who are going to try to overtake them and take that ninth seed. Here's what the Lakers themselves are saying, though. Here's Lakers head coach Darvin Ham. I'm not going to read through this whole thing. As you can see, this is a long quote. But Darvin, when asked about the game against the Warriors, said, "Extremely important. I thought today was a great day. Energy was high. We went through the Sacramento film. Just some other things that we can work on, mixed in how we've been playing here of late, some clips from Minnesota or whatever. But for the most part, it was looking at how we can slow down the generation of threes that are being piled on us. So we looked at that, looked at the rebounding, looked at how we played different schemes on the ball, and looked at our offense. We looked at the stretch in the third quarter last game in Sacramento and looked at the possessions where we were really giving ourselves an advantage with our pace and our screens. I thought it was good. A lot of dialogue. He said, we feel good about our chances for sure." So Darvin, a lot of really important things in there. I mean, obviously just saying first and foremost that this game is important. And that's maybe even been the more frustrating part about the Lakers going 0-4 in these games that they really needed to win, is that they acknowledged how big those games were, and yet still it would have at least a quarter, if not more, where they just looked out of sorts and frankly unprepared to play basketball in these games. And that's inexcusable. You simply can't do that in this situation. And Darvin is talking here about trying to slow down the generation of threes, which is, I mean, critical. The Lakers' defense has been their problem. They're 28th in the NBA in defensive rating since the All-Star break. I crunched the numbers on this. If the Lakers had even just a league average, not talking about a good defense, league average defense, because their offense has been so good, their net rating would be positive. In fact, their net rating would be top 8 in the NBA. That's how good their offense has been. Think about that. Their offense has been so good that if their defense was just league average, they'd be a top eight team right now in the NBA based on net rating since the All-Star break. That's how bad their defense has been and how good their offense has been. Their offense has been one of the best in the NBA. Their defense has been atrocious. If they could just get to respectable average on the defensive side of the ball, oh boy, that changes a lot for this team. And maybe a return, I've got more on that in just a second, for Jared Vanderbilt. Could that change things there? Fingers crossed. But Darvin says, look, we understand the amount of threes the teams are shooting against us. That's a problem. The rebounding, that's a problem. And those two things, they may not sound like it, but they're connected. Because what happens is when the Lakers give up offensive rebounds, those frequently turn into open threes for opponents. So those two things are very, very much connected. Now, we know the Warriors are going to shoot tons of threes. We know the Warriors can be a pretty good offensive rebounding team as well. So we'll see. Do the Lakers actually clean these things up or not? The mid-range rebounds are going to be really important. I'm talking about if Klay clanks a three and it bounces out around the free throw line, AD's not getting to that. The other Lakers have got to step in and grab these and not allow the other Warriors to come in and steal them away and then generate open threes off of those. That's what they're going to try to do.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
BetUS, great sponsor for the show. You guys can find the link in the description down below. Fantastic promo there. You guys heard it. 125% bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,500 and that 10% gambler's insurance. The site, super, super easy. You can go there, find just about anything that you're looking for. Basketball game, soccer, whatever you want. Baseball, we know that's coming up. You name it, you can find it there. Super easy. Put in your bet. And off you go. It'll even calculate exactly how much you would win. So check them out, guys. Again, use the link in the description below. That promo, again, 125% deposit bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,500. Go check them out. This is Rui Hachimura. Again, saying, we recognize how important this game is. He said, yeah, it's going to be a big game. It's almost a playoff game. I think we're preparing good. We had a great team meeting today, film session. We had a little movement, stuff that went over plays and stuff, and we feel pretty good about tomorrow. Okay, look, the Lakers, and I got to get into the injury update here in just a moment, but they get it. There's no, this caught them by surprise. There's no, it was just an off night. They know what is at stake. They know the situation they've put themselves in. Anthony Davis, after the game against the Kings, lamented that they were self-inflicted wounds that caused them to lose that game, that they're doing these things to themselves, that they did it in the second quarter when they played Sacramento a little over a week ago now. And most recently, it was the third quarter when they did it to themselves again. Can't do that. Can't beat yourselves in these games. And that's what the Lakers have largely been doing, making mistakes that, to their credit, their opponents are capitalizing on, but making mistakes that they simply shouldn't make at this point in the season. So now you've got multiple people here, Darvin Ham, Rui Hachimura, who've both said, yep, we get it. We know how important this game is. Hallelujah. Play like it. That's all we ask. Play like it. Play like you understand how important this game is. And that means you should be the more energized team. You should be the more engaged team throughout the game. You should be the more physical team. You should be the team beating your opponent to the loose ball. Now, the Warriors, they get it too. It's no coincidence that Steph Curry's probably coming back for this game or the Draymond Green's coming back for this game. That's no coincidence that they were held out last game. Of course they were. And of course they're going to come back for this game. They know how big this game is. I'm not saying the Warriors are an easy opponent because they're not. But we've seen this Lakers team for stretches of games, if not for entire games, not look like they fully understand or respect the gravity of the situation that they're in. Right now, they're saying, we get it. Prove it. That's all we ask. Prove it. Let's get into the injury update. Fascinating stuff here. Darvin Ham says no, but when asked if there's an update on the injured guys, Gabe Vincent, seen at Lakers practice in uniform. Well, practice uniform. Cam Reddish out there doing stuff. Here's what Darvin Ham said about an update. No, but there will be one coming soon, though. Gabe, Vando, Seawood, Christian Wood, they're pretty much status quo. So that means they're not playing. By the way, the official injury report has come out. Indeed, all of these guys have been ruled out. Cam got on the court today and did some stuff today, so we'll see how he feels tomorrow. Now, he was listed as out on the official injury report. Maybe that changes. Maybe his designation changes, and we'll wait for an update on that. But he said he likely won't be in the lineup, but he's making extreme progress. Not progress, extreme progress, and we feel good about that as well. Okay. So the injured Lakers are getting closer to coming back. And I know, look, Gabe Vincent being on the court, but look, reality, Gabe Vincent being on the court doesn't excite many of you that much. I mean, it's, hey, you want to see him out there. You want to see the guy healthy. The Lakers spent the money they did on him for some reason. Only seen him play five games this season. And this team right now is desperate for anything that can give them that boost. So I know people are, you know, not necessarily over the moon about Gabe Vincent returning, but it's something. But now what we're really waiting for, it's Jared Vanderbilt, right? I mean, I just talked about how bad the defense is. He's the guy that could make a big difference there. Rui Hachimura, after practice, let this slip. Here's what Rui said. Yeah, for sure. He was being asked a question about injuries and all that. Vando is still out, but he's going to come back soon, hopefully. Coming back soon? And our regular lineup that we had last year will come back at the right time. That's interesting. So we're all excited. We've been watching a lot of film, and we've been communicating well, so I think it's going to come together. So he was asked specifically about the starting lineup and if they're feeling that chemistry and all that sort of stuff. But Vando's still out, but he's going to come back soon. Now, Vando posted footage yesterday, day before, on Instagram of him in the Lakers weight room working out, and he was doing some resistance training with bands, not really fully jumping. But Rui's saying he's coming back soon. Like, that's great. I mean, we don't have an update. Jarvin says maybe there'll be an update pretty soon on when, you know, where these guys are at. But Vando coming back is probably the best Hail Mary save the season type situation here for the Lakers. So Vando's going to be back soon. That's one thing. That's great. But then our regular lineup that we had last year will come back at the right time. So there's been a lot of discussion about if and when Jared Vanderbilt comes back, what happens? What then? Your starting lineup right now has Rui Hachimura in it. And I like Rui. I like what he's done. But the problem is that Rui does not make up for the defensive concerns of Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell. Jared Vanderbilt can do that, having Vando on the floor with AD, with LeBron, that can help make up for the lacking defense of Austin and D'Lo, because Vando's that good of a defensive player. Rui is not that. And in fact, I think you could argue that Rui's scoring has been missing from the Lakers' bench rotation as well. So a Jared Vanderbilt return not only improves you defensively in that starting unit, but also beefs up the scoring right now that is lacking in the reserve unit. So I think it does have a domino effect that could be pretty positive for this Lakers team. And Rui is saying, yeah, we're going to go back to our regular lineup that we had last year. Well, that had Jared Vanderbilt in the starting lineup. So again, there's been a lot of talk about, okay, what happens when Jared Vanderbilt comes back? And, I mean, Rui sure sounds like, yeah, we're going to go back to Vando being in the starting lineup. I mean, that was the plan coming into the season. Darvin Ham has all but admitted that. To start the season, it was going to be Jared Vanderbilt in the starting lineup. And then he got hurt. And so next thing you knew, it was Taurean Prince that got the call. And then eventually he gave way to Rui Hachimura after a long, long stretch of the season. That finally happened. And Rui, I think, is the best option of what's available right now in the starting five. But when Jared Vanderbilt comes back, I do think your highest ceiling with this team, it's Vando starting and Rui providing that scoring punch off the bench. So good to hear there from Rui Hachimura that does seem to be the plan, that the regular starting lineup from last season will ride again, and that'll come when Jared Vanderbilt does return. All right, this game. Look, there's a lot to there's a lot we could break down here, but the Lakers have played the Warriors like a billion times already this season, between preseason, between the matchups they've already had this year, seeing them in the playoffs last year. I mean, within the calendar year, I believe they played them something like 10 times within a calendar year. And so we've seen this team a lot. And the Warriors, they can give the Lakers some problems on the offensive glass because they do a really good job tracking down those mid-range long bounce offensive rebound opportunities. So the Lakers have got to be very diligent there. And that's not going to fall on AD. That's going to fall on LeBron, on Rui, on Taurean, on Austin, D'Lo, Dinwiddie, everybody else. Everybody else is going to have to clean those up. That's going to be a big key in this game. The Lakers contesting on the three-point line. They did not do a good enough job against that, against Sacramento at that. Contesting on threes. And LeBron in particular looks slow getting out to three-point shooters. It was one of the first and only games, I think, where you've really seen LeBron out there and you went, oh, that dude looks 39. Right? I mean, most games we see LeBron, even if he's not flying all over the court, he's still pretty quick, especially when he wants to be. But LeBron, for the most part, in the game against Sacramento, didn't quite look right. And he is listed as questionable for the game against Golden State. I'd have to imagine he plays, but that'll be something to watch because the Kings really took advantage of LeBron being a step slow, and they got up a bunch of open threes. Harrison Barnes did it. Keegan Murray did it as well. I don't fault LeBron. This is not me criticizing LeBron here. Are there moments where I wish he would try to get back on defense rather than talk to a referee? Yeah, absolutely. But in general, LeBron, 39 years old, he's got so much mileage on his body. I'm not expecting him to fly all over the court all game, every game. It's not reasonable to expect him to do those things. So I don't get too upset when I see LeBron not being able to give his all defensively every single possession. He's not at that point in his career where he can do that. But the Lakers in general have to do a better job protecting the three-point line in this game against the Golden State Warriors. That's going to be absolutely critical if they're going to get the win. The other thing, and you know, we talked about this heading into the game against Sacramento, it's Anthony Davis. He needs a bounce-back performance. The Warriors, they're a team you can score inside on. AD has got to have a big bounce-back game here. They need a dominant Anthony Davis, period. He did not do it against Sabonis. It was disappointing. It was disheartening what we saw from Anthony Davis in that game. He has to step up in a big, big way. Similarly, D'Angelo Russell, I think he's had two kind of stinkers in a row, the last game being much worse than the other one. But D'Angelo Russell, you need a heater D'Lo performance from him. You need him knocking down those threes. You need him sending the Warriors defense scrambling to get out to him. That's what we're going to need out of D'Angelo Russell. And then LeBron, you can't have the game you had last game. That's it. Look, D'Lo, LeBron, AD, all three had terrible games against the Sacramento Kings. You need all three to be playing well here against the Warriors. It's going to be a playoff-like atmosphere, and the Lakers have got to be ready to show up. Watch for Jonathan Kuminga. He can give you some sneaky points from the Warriors' side of things. He's definitely somebody to keep an eye on from the Lakers' side of things defensively. Obviously, Steph Curry defensively is going to be a big, big deal. That's where Spencer Dinwiddie is going to certainly get some reps there. Might we even see Max Christie be deployed on Steph Curry? Please don't put Taurean Prince on Curry. I mean, if he gets switched on for a possession or something, whatever, but just don't do it, Darvin. Dear Darvin, please don't do it. Don't ask Taurean Prince to chase Steph Curry around. Please, 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 let's not do that. Other than that, and the Lakers talked about this after practice. Rui mentioned this game's going to come down to who wants it more. This is one of those grit your teeth, grind it out. You can scheme, you can plan, you can do all of that. But the bottom line is, who wants this win? Who really wants this win? And it better be the Lakers. It better be the Lakers at this point. They've got to come out guns blazing. They got to come out and play a full 48 minutes of basketball. It's been a little while since we've seen them put together a full 48-minute performance, and that's what they need to do in this game against Golden State. It's going to be critical. Now, last point here on this game, the NBA, folks, they admitted it. The NBA finally admitted it. They changed the way the game is being officiated. Now, did they officially change their rules? No, of course not. They didn't officially change their rules. But this is Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN said this. He said, I'll put it up on the screen here for everybody. The NBA shared with teams one of the league's focuses in competition committee meetings has been on offensive players hunting for fouls, veering off paths into defenders, and how those recent points of officiating emphasis have impacted a decrease in league scoring, according to a memo. Okay. So, if you guys have been following along with this kind of crazy story, Adam Silver looked clearly less than thrilled with what he saw in the All-Star game and the no defense. And there were already stories before that, that the NBA was looking into this concept that perhaps they've gone too far, that perhaps they've gone too far in giving the offensive team the benefit of the doubt and penalizing defense. Did they go too far? Are guys putting up 60-point games way too easily? Teams running up scores way too easily. Is that the point of threat? I think the answer is yes. And I think most of you out there probably would answer yes as well. But when the NBA was asked, well, have you changed the rules? No. No, we haven't done that. That was like a week ago. What? No, you guys are crazy. We haven't done that. Now, here it is. The NBA saying, well, okay, maybe we did. Now, did they officially change the rule? No. They've changed how they're enforcing the rule, which is the same thing. It's the same thing. Same thing. Look, there can be a law saying the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. But if everybody knows that unless you're going 75 miles an hour or over, you're not getting a speeding ticket, guess what? Everybody's going to drive faster than 55 miles an hour, right? The law may say 55, but if it depends on what's enforced. That's what matters. So if the NBA is not calling games as tightly as they were before in favor of the offensive team, well, the rules may still be on the books that look the same, but it's how it's enforced that matters. Teams will start being more physical defensively. We saw it last game against Sacramento. So the Warriors are typically a team, and this actually I don't think favors the Lakers. The Warriors are a team that typically struggles to defend without fouling. Well, now they're going to be allowed to get away with more now that the NBA has changed their points of emphasis in terms of how they are enforcing their rules. So there's that. Now, is Steph Curry sometimes a guy that veers off course in order to pick up fouls? Sure, that happens sometimes. He's not the worst of them, but that sometimes happens. But what this means is that the Lakers and everybody can now play more physical basketball, can play more playoff-style basketball, maybe not quite Olympic physicality basketball, which we've got coming up this summer, but the game's going to be more physical. So this is a point of emphasis for tonight's game because the Lakers should enjoy a free throw advantage over the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are really bad, and we've talked all about this. Warriors fans got so upset, got so enraged over the Lakers having a free throw discrepancy compared to Golden State. I'm sure they were talking all about it in their homeroom the next morning. But the Warriors were very upset about that. I think it's common sense. The Lakers should have a huge free throw advantage. Why? Because the Lakers, number one, they preach defending without fouling, sometimes to a fault. Number two, the Lakers do most of their scoring in the paint. And number three, the Warriors are terrible at defending without fouling. So, of course, there's going to be a big free throw discrepancy. Oh, and fourth point, the Warriors shoot tons of threes and don't do as much of their scoring in the paint. So add all of that up. And yeah, you would expect the Lakers to have more free throws than the Warriors would. I mean, complaining about that is like complaining, like the Lakers complaining that the Warriors shoot too many threes, like that there's a discrepancy in threes attempted.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? you won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Of course there's going to be, right? It's two teams employing two very different strategies. But if fouls are not being called as regularly, that could actually benefit Golden State because it's going to allow them to play their brand of defense, which is high foul defense, and not be penalized for it. So for the Lakers, I think what they need to learn from that Sacramento game is, cool, if this is the way the game is going to be officiated, that's fine. Adapt. And you've got to start being more physical. That means getting more bumps on Curry when he's coming off of screens and things like that. Just being more physical, more contact in general. I know the NBA says our point of emphasis is players veering into defenders, which is annoying in order to get foul calls. That's their point of emphasis. But we're seeing it across the board. We're seeing more physical. Look at what Sabonis did to AD. We're seeing more physicality in the game right now. And I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I think it's fine. I'd rather see this than guys falling all over themselves trying to get whistles. I'd rather see this. But the Lakers have to adapt very quickly to this new whistle. That's going to be key tonight because, again, they should have a big free throw discrepancy in their favor. But yeesh, if the way the rules are being implemented has changed, that could present a problem for LA. Okay. We will be live on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation for the game. You can come hang out with us, watch the game. It's a good time. We stress out together. We celebrate together. We commiserate together. It's a lot of fun. So come join us, playback.tv/LakersNation or the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Playback, you can actually watch the game if you're logged in with your league pass and all that stuff. Particularly, it's international league pass. We'll let you see like the nationally televised games. Maybe you have some way around that to make your computer think you're somewhere else. I wouldn't know anything about that. I know nothing about that, but that's a way you can kind of get around it. So you can actually watch the game with us over on Playback, or if you're on the YouTube channel, you can hang out with us and at least hear our play-by-play, our conversation during the game. We talk with the chat, all that. It's a lot of fun. All right. Speaking of communicating with all of you out there in Lakers Nation, let's get into the mailbag. By the way, guys, today I did our members-only live show. If you guys haven't checked out our channel memberships, click the join button. And you can see all the different perks that we offer for channel members. A lot of fun. We get together once a week and get everybody up on screen. Everybody comes into the room and we all talk Lakers basketball. It's a blast. So come join us. Check it out. Check out the membership program. Three Theory said, Master Lock, Anthony Davis, LeBron, D'Lo for not showing up. A lot of these came in after the Lakers-Kings game, so there's going to be a little frustration here. Buck, Bron did nothing on defense or offense until garbage time. That was bad. That was maybe the worst LeBron game of the season. That was bad, and I hope his ankle's okay. He is, again, questionable for tonight against Golden State. Avant Traders, LeBron and AD look checked out. I think they know they aren't going anywhere with him as coach. They're waiting for the summer to get a real head coach. If I'm LeBron and AD, I don't look at it and say, I'm not going anywhere with Darvin Ham. Like, I wouldn't do that. I would just say, give me the clipboard. Right? I mean, I wouldn't just say, oh, well, Ham's the coach, so we're not going to win. Like, you would just kind of seize more control of things and what's happening on the floor. But when we talk about Darvin Ham in this summer, I mean, look, guys, you know what's going on. We all see what's happening. You have to. If you're the Lakers, you have to take a real look at what's going on with the coaching job. And again, it's not all on Darvin Ham. There's responsibility on the players to play better. There's responsibility in the front office and the roster they put together. There's responsibility in a lot of places. You can point the finger, but it's pretty clear this isn't working with Darvin right now. I think it would take something extraordinary for the team not to seriously revisit the head coaching job this summer. And by extraordinary, I mean a phenomenal playoff run that leads them to the NBA Finals or something like that. To not be really looking at that and have a real conversation about, hey, let's move on. I think that's where we're at. Because I'll be honest, guys, and this is not coming from within here, but when I watch this team right now, and you guys are seeing what I'm seeing too, it doesn't always look like this is a team that's bought in. And that's supposed to be Darvin's thing, right? That's supposed to be coming into the season. We knew, all right, he's not the best X's and O's guy, but he's the guy that you want to run through a brick wall for. Right, that's supposed to be, that's like Darvin Ham's superpower. That's what he does. Like Frank Vogel, right? Frank Vogel, he's not going to be a great offensive coach, but man, can he coach defense. And he sure as hell can. That's his thing. Everybody's got their thing, right? Phil Jackson, what was his superpower? It was getting these big stars, right? Some of the biggest stars in the NBA to play nice together, to come together as a team. See the best coach for X's and O's and all that? No, he took Tex Winter's system, the triangle, and implemented that, right? Is he the best X's and O's guy? No. But he managed to get everybody to work together. That's his superpower. Darvin was supposed to be everybody's going to give it their all every night when Darvin Ham is coaching this team because he makes you just want to run through that brick wall for him. So what, we're not seeing that. So then what's the point, right? What does he bring then? He's not a great X's and O's guy. You're seeing mistakes made in game. You've got to revisit this situation. If guys were competing every single night, flying all over the floor, and Darvin's getting the absolute most out of these guys every single night, and the execution is a little bit off here and there, the play calling's a little bit off here and there. You know what? Just sheer will is going to make up for that. And you can say, God, Darvin, these guys will march through hellfire for him. And we don't see that. You rarely hear guys sticking up for him, which I think that the silence is deafening in that case. So I think this is going to get re-evaluated this summer. I think it has to. He has to. And I think Darvin's a good dude. I don't want bad things for him. But you can kind of see it in the body language of the players. I don't think they have a lot of faith in him. But in that case, if you're LeBron, if you're in your AD, you just kind of assume control of some of the things that are happening on the floor. That's what I think anyway. All right. Laker dude, blaming AD for this is crazy. No, it's not. It's not crazy. It's not crazy at all. You can't say don't blame AD. Yeah, no, blaming AD, and I'm talking about the Sacramento game, blaming AD solely is crazy. Saying it is all Anthony Davis's fault. That's crazy. But did Anthony Davis had a bad game? Yes. The key going in was Anthony Davis had to be better than Sabonis. Just like the key tonight is Anthony Davis has to dominate a small Warriors front court. That's a key to this game. Did he accomplish that last game? No, he had a bad game. Who's to blame for that? Well, Anthony Davis is. He had a bad game. Now we can talk scheme and things like that. And is he, you know, being asked to play a brand of defense that's not ideal and everything? Yeah, but even when he's matched up one-on-one with Sabonis and he just has to defend him straight up, he struggled. Even when his job was to box out Sabonis, keep him off the glass, he struggled. It's okay to say he had a bad game. He's been great on the season. It's been a fantastic season for Anthony Davis. It was a bad game. It's okay to say that. That's all right. J-Pez said, lack of energy started after they found out that the Dubs lost. Also looked like they're the ones on a second of a back-to-back. Master Lock AD, Domus owns him. Yeah, that wasn't great. Again, when we get to the energy, that looked like a team that was ready to follow their coach through, you know, come hell or high water. When you're playing up against a team that was on the second night of a back-to-back, now they didn't have to play that hard against the Bucks to beat them. Didn't have to log very many minutes, but still, the Kings looked like the fresher team. The Lakers had 2 days off. Inexcusable. Our bench unit is diabolical. How do we fix it? Jared Vanderbilt returns. That's how we fix it. That's how you fix the bench unit. Jared Vanderbilt returns, pushes Rui back to the bench, and then you fix the scoring problem on the bench unit. That's how. Christian Wood returning could also help in that regard. Hello, world. At this point, this team does it to him to themselves. They're handed these opportunities, but fumble. I'm not sure you beat the Mavs or the Kings in the play-in. They 100% are beating themselves. And yes, they are fumbling. They get themselves to the 1 yard line and they drop the ball. They just do. And hopefully they fix that. It's like, who was it? Was it Deshaun Jackson who started celebrating before he actually broke the plane and dropped the ball? That's what we've seen the Lakers do in some of these games. Just not approach it the way they needed to, not focus all the way through. And then they get beat. Based on what they've said, it sounds like that should not happen in this game. They understand, they fully understand, they recognize how important this is. But there's only one way to prove that. AD's looking more like ED, Eric Dampier tonight. Yeah, he was not good. Brandon said, let's show Austin Reeves some love. He was the only one today. Austin was great. He was on a heater. He got things going. It was a really good Austin Reeves game. Unfortunately, Lakers kind of wasted it. Mark, best case scenario, Kings the sixth seed, Lakers and Golden State Warriors, 7 or 8, Suns and Dallas, 9th and 10th. What do you think? I do think that is best case scenario. I also think it's unlikely because right now the Lakers and the Warriors are the 10 seed and the 9 seed respectively. So Warriors 10, Lakers 9. So Suns and Mavs both have to drop. Now the Suns do have a difficult schedule from here on out, but the Lakers need them to drop some games. They do have the tiebreaker over the Suns, so that helps. Don't have the tiebreaker over the Mavs. I think what the Lakers need to happen in order to move up into the 8 seed, let's say, it's the Suns to set. You need the Suns to lose games. That's what's got to happen if they're going to move up. It's really that simple. And last night, the Suns took on the Hornets. That's no help. So, of course, they beat the Hornets. But they do have some much more difficult games coming up. So the Lakers need the Suns to drop games. And the Lakers need to, at the very least, catch them, at which point the tiebreaker being in LA's favor will put them ahead. That's what needs to happen. Teams are better, deeper now since the bubble. LeBron and Davis, 4 years older. Yeah, I think the West is ridiculously deep. We talked about it coming into the season. Like, the West is so deep that Memphis just vanished, right? They disappeared. But that's a legit playoff team. If Memphis is fully healthy, they're in the playoffs. So think about that. The Lakers, the Warriors, one of those teams right now would not only be in the, not even be in the play-in, but Memphis just disappeared through injuries and suspensions and such. Yeah, the West is absurd. It's such a deep conference. So that's why when you look at the West and you look at the win totals, well, yeah, we said it going into the season. You're not going to have a team that busts out like a 65-win season in the West. Why? Because you're cannibalizing yourself. You've got too many good teams that are constantly beating each other. You don't have, like in the East, where, especially the East in years gone by, where like they would have, like the sixth seed would be terrible, right? There's a lot more opportunities against these kind of the Wizards, the Nets. Unfortunately, the Nets have beaten the Lakers this season, but the Raptors have called it a season. You know, you've got all these teams that you can just feast on, and you just build up this buffer of wins by playing these lower quality teams more often. And that does not exist in the Western Conference. Yeah, there's the Spurs, but even then, the Lakers have lost to the Spurs this year too. Wemby can give you something on any given night. So the West is just so deep, and it's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. Memphis is going to be healthy next year. Rockets are going to be better. They're on the upswing. It's only getting worse in the Western Conference. Avant Traders, Lakers have actually been playing great this season overall. That 3-11 stretch in December is what killed us. Without that, they're easily the fifth seed. Yeah. That stretch that we're going to take our foot totally off the gas pedal after the in-season tournament win, that is really coming back to haunt them right now. Really coming back to haunt them. I mean, if you, instead of 3-11, instead of 3-11 for 14 games, let's say you are, say you win three more. So you're 6-8. Just 6-8. That's not much, right? The Lakers at that point, right now anyway, would be 39-28. They would be the sixth seed right now, ahead of the Sacramento Kings. We're talking about just a few games. They took their foot off the gas, but this is the West. It's unforgiving. It's too deep. And this is what happens. If you lose focus mid-season, those games come back to haunt you. And that's exactly what's happening right now to the Lakers.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chilling on a Million said, it's funny how teams you're adding to the list of teams we don't want to play. Here, Depoy loses those matchups. Again, I think Anthony Davis is a phenomenal defensive player. He did not look good against Sabonis. He struggles against Jokic as well. I mean, it's no surprise, right? The teams that your best guy struggles against are probably teams you don't want to see in the playoffs. Trey, Sabonis owns Davis. Barnes owns LeBron. Well, Barnes got hot from three. And that's what you can't. That's the other thing we can't see tonight against the Warriors. Is an outlier three-point shooting game. You can't have like Podziemski go shoot 6-for-7 or something like that. You can't have that. You can't have random role player X get hot. That's going to be critical. All right. Mark, our starters lose us games this year. Well, the bench does too. As Mamadou says in the next comment, master lock the Lakers bench. This one said the Lakers lost, not AD alone, LeBron and the team as well. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not all AD. Anthony Davis was the most disappointing part of the Sacramento game, though, because that was the key, was AD outplaying Sabonis, and he wasn't close. And that is a reasonable ask for AD to outplay Sabonis, and he couldn't do it. So that's why we talk a lot more about AD, but LeBron was bad, D'Lo was bad, a number of guys were not good enough, the defensive rotations were a mess. Yeah. No reason for AD to be so bad against the Kings other than mental. That's why AD needs a bounce back tonight against the Warriors. But you know, not just because the Lakers need to win, but also I think AD needs to remind himself, like, hey, I am that guy. He needs to remind himself of that. Joey, we can't put all the blame on Davis. Oh, agreed. Agreed. D'Lo was bad. The other guys were bad too. But AD was the focal point. Robert, why take Rui out for so long for Dinwiddie when Rui's putting points on the board? Darvin. Right? Now, I get it. The Kings are smaller. Dinwiddie gives you a bit more mobility. Maybe you thought you'd give up less open threes that way. But Rui was keeping you in the game in the first half. Him only getting one shot in the second half is criminal. Now, the Kings adjusted their defense, but guess what the Lakers didn't do? Adjust to the adjustments. Not saying it's easy, but the Lakers struggle. Their coaching staff struggles to adjust to adjustments. We've seen it all season. Trey, we've got just a few more here. Said Master Lock LeBron and AD being cooked. being cooked by Domantas Sabonis and Harrison Barnes. Yeah. That was frustrating. Come on, trade AD for Thad Young. Come on. He wants to play small. Let's get someone small and cheap. Let's not go crazy here. Joseph, D'Lo, Austin, Torian Prince on the court at the same time is absolutely getting cooked. Well, of course they are. Would you think otherwise? Well, Darvin Scam stands there with his hands in his pockets. That was my favorite part of the game. Look, Torian's not great. He's not good defensively. Sometimes he can be okay, but for the most part, he's not a good defensive player. And he's certainly not good enough to make up for the shortcomings of other defenders. So D'Lo, Austin, and Torian Prince on the floor together, especially when you've got a hobbled LeBron out there, you're going to get lit up. That's exactly what happens. Kamal says, trade AD. Get that fraud center out. I mean, look, I was frustrated with AD. We talked about it a lot on the show that game. But AD, when we step back, he's had a great season. Great season. So I know we can get caught up in the moment, but now AD needs to bounce back and he needs to remind everybody how good he is. And that's what needs to happen tonight against the Warriors. All right, everybody. Again, we'll be over on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation. You can watch the game with us. And then the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/LakersNation. Again, if you're on YouTube right now, hit that subscribe button. Don't forget to like this video as well. We'd appreciate that. And then over on the podcast side, Apple Podcasts, you guys can give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd appreciate that as well. All right, big game tonight. Let's see. Do the Lakers show up? Jekyll, Hyde? Which version of the Lakers do we get? Come join us. We'll find out. Till then, see ya and stay safe.